We're in the middle of a series called The People of Christmas. At Christmas time, there are people in our life that make Christmas so special. We have traditions that involve important roles of people in our life. Maybe you're that important person, that important role in your life that it makes Christmas tradition so special. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your children. Christmas time is where the people in our life make Christmas so magical. And when every person is present at Christmas, Christmas becomes that much easier and that much happier. But when someone isn't present at Christmas, Christmas just isn't the same. If so-and-so doesn't show up, it's not as special. If mom doesn't make the cinnamon rolls, then Christmas must be canceled. If the siblings don't do the Secret Santa, then the Christmas spirit is lacking. If the grandkids don't show up to grandparents' house, then something is off. If there's family issues revolving around the holidays, then Christmas can be a miserable time. If a loved one passes away, then Christmas just becomes another holiday hard to get through. Without the people of Christmas in our personal life, Christmas just isn't the same. And as we look at the people of Christmas, I'm convinced that when we look at the story of Christmas and we see the people in the gospel at the what we call the nativity scene, I'm convinced that if there's a key role lacking from the story, Christmas would not be the same. And so what we're doing is we're looking at the very first Christmas, the people of the very first Christmas. First week we introduced this series talking about Mary, her important role in the story of Christmas. And then last week we talked about the important role of Joseph. This week we're going to be talking about the shepherds. And then on Christmas Eve we're going to be talking about Jesus. And then next week Sunday we'll be closing out the series talking about the wise men. But Christmas is the holiday where we recognize of Christ's birth. This is when Jesus came into this world. Right now, we're in the season called Advent, as I opened up the service and told you all. We're in the fourth Sunday of Advent, and what Advent is the arrival of, expecting the arrival of a notable person, an important person, and with that expectation, there's this anticipation that's going on, and this is a big deal because as you're waiting for somebody to come, you're anticipating, you're getting excited for this, you're getting impatient about it. We see this happening with the Jewish people. I mean, the Jewish people have been waiting for so long for a Messiah to come. Think about it. Since Genesis chapter 3, they had been promised that a Messiah was to be born. A Messiah, a Redeemer, is going to come into this world at some point. And so since Genesis chapter 3, they've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And now he is here. The Christmas time is where we recognize that Jesus has come, Jesus is born, and we no longer have to wait for a Redeemer. We no longer have to wait for a Savior because he has come. So today we're looking at the shepherds of Christmas as they play a very important part of our Christmas story. The shepherds are only recorded in the Gospel of Luke, which is where we'll be at this morning. So if you have your Bibles, please join me in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles, it's okay. The words from the verses will be on the screen. But what we know so far, right before we're introduced to the shepherds, is we know that Caesar Augustus is the Roman governor, and he is giving a decree that all people have to go to their ancestral hometown to be counted. We know that Mary is now pregnant, 10 months pregnant probably, carrying the baby of Jesus, and she's also engaged to Joseph, who we learned last week tried to secretly divorce her for her protection, and he's pledged to marry to her because the angel came to him and said, no, this is legit. Like, this is from me. She is birthed by the conception of the Holy Spirit. And so something big happens. They are now forced to go back to Bethlehem to be counted, and as they're going in, something amazing happens. Mary goes into labor. Mary goes into labor, and why this is so big is because this is the moment that we have all been waiting for. This is the moment that all of our ancestors have been waiting for. This is the moment that, since Genesis chapter 3, they've been waiting for this. And what's big about this is that the exact birthplace of the Messiah was prophesied 700 years prior to this. In the prophecy of Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we actually learn about this, where Micah says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." And we know that this is Jesus, and we're going to learn more about Jesus on Christmas Eve, but Christ is born. A prophecy of 700 years prior to being happening has now been fulfilled. And this is where we're introduced to the shepherds at Christmas. And what we're going to do today is, before we go into Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at a few important facts about who shepherds are. We're going to look at three important roles that the shepherds play at Christmas. And then we're going to learn how we can apply this to our life. So the first, I'm going to give you two facts about the shepherds. The first fact is that a shepherd's priority is protection. A shepherd's priority is protection. If you were to think of a characteristics of a shepherd, you would commonly think of someone who is holding a what we call a shepherd's crook. It's a long staff that has kind of like this hook. And what the shepherds will use that for is they will use it to kind of like take care of their sheep. They will use it to tend to their flock. They would make sure that the sheep wouldn't go astray. So they'll use this to bring the sheep back in so they could be together with the flock. Now the crook was also important because shepherds were needed for sheep because sheep, they were defenseless. And so a shepherd had to defend the sheep. And so if a predator came to eat the sheep or tried to take the sheep, the shepherd would be there to defend the sheep. So the crook is important. And a shepherd's job is part of their characteristic because they take protection seriously. A shepherd's priority is to protect their sheep, no matter the cost, no matter the danger. They're going to do what they have to do to protect their sheep. And there's many examples all throughout the Word of God of shepherds being protecting. And we see one from David, who becomes the king of Israel one day. But David shows this amazing example of protection. Basically what happens is he responds to King Saul with confidence that he is the guy to kill the giant Goliath. And as we know that story really well, we know that Goliath is this big giant, this big dude who's taunting the Israelite camp. And King David, or David, who isn't king yet, comes along and he's like, yo, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And he's like, yo, King Saul, I'm the guy who's going to kill Goliath. And Saul's like, don't be ridiculous. This man has been in war since you were a boy. Like, you don't understand what you're putting yourself up to right now. And this is how David responds to him in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 34 and 36. David said to him, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued it from the sheep from its mouth. When it turned to me, I seized it by its hair, I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. So we see David giving this clear example that his priority was to protect his sheep. I mean, he killed a lion and a bear. When was the last time you killed a lion or a bear? We just don't do that. Like, even standing face to face with a lion or a bear. You see, King David was serious about his flock. He was protecting his flock. And so that's the first fact that we want to look at with shepherds, is that their priority was protection. The second fact that we look at from shepherds is that shepherds were viewed as outcasts. And when you look at the nativity scene, if I was to go in the center table where the nativity scene is beautifully set up, and if you look at the shepherds, I encourage you to look at the shepherds on your way out, you see this gorgeous porcelain skinned man. Like, it just looks so good. It looks like the shepherd looks amazing. The shepherd looks all put together, cleaned up, sharp. That's not what shepherds were, though. And so to be a shepherd, it used to be an honorable job. If you shepherd some sheep, it used to be an honorable job way, way back in the day. Around Jesus' time, shepherding was something that was despised. They did not like shepherds. They actually hated shepherds. And many shepherds, they were viewed as unclean. And I'm going to get into that of why. But many shepherds, they didn't have a clean job. They were constantly around animals. And many shepherds were actually homeless. They constantly were living and moving with their flocks in the field. And so there's not a lot of opportunity to bathe themselves. They're constantly working with animals, and their animals are just pretty much sharing in their filth. And so they're kind of, the shepherds, they were written off by the Jewish religious establishment. Why? Well, because they're a failure to attend a temple. They failed to observe the Sabbath. And so they also were not able to do proper cleansing. And so therefore, there is no ceremonial laws of washing being observed. And so the Jewish establishment kind of like wrote them off. It made them become like looked at as like as if they were a dishonest people and unclean people. So an interesting thing about the shepherds is they're not that sharp, clean-looking nativity scene that we have in mind. They're filthy. They're smelly. They're dirty. And interesting to point out of with the shepherds in Bethlehem specifically, even though this many theologians believe that this is the same fields that King David rose his sheep, we actually learn that the shepherds there, they also raised and provided the lamb for the temple for God's sacrifices. So a pretty cool, interesting fact about them. But some theologians, when they look at the shepherds in the story of Luke chapter 2, they think that the shepherds didn't even go in to be counted during the census because they didn't count as people. So needless to say, they were not at the top of the social order. They were looked at as outcasts. So now we're going to dive into the text. Now we're going to dive into Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at the shepherds' roles of Christmas. We have our facts about our shepherds. We're going to come back to them again. But now we're going to look at the shepherds' role in Christmas. After the birth of Jesus happens, Luke highlights the role of the lowly shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, this is what Luke records. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord." So this is where we're at. Shepherds are out in the field at night, guarding their sheep. They're abiding by them, minding their own business. They're probably around 6 miles outside of the town of Bethlehem. And out of nowhere, this angel appears to them. An angel comes to them and they're terrified. I mean, honestly, I would be too. You know, back then they didn't have city lights. They didn't have street lights. They're in the darkness, tending their flock. And out of nowhere, this angel comes. And they're terrified. But the angel comforts them and tells them that the shepherd this good news that a Savior has been born. So the first important role that I want to highlight from this passage is the shepherds were the first to hear of Jesus' birth. They were the very first ones to hear of the birth of Jesus. And this is a very special moment. A very special moment because baby announcements are special for everyone. I'll never forget the very first baby announcement that I've received. Me and my wife decided to start having children. And I remember, you know, it's not that easy, by the way. It takes a few months. And so I remember just washing dishes one day. It's been a few months that we've been waiting and waiting. And out of nowhere, she runs out of the bathroom and she has this pregnancy test in her hand. And she like runs to the kitchen. She's like, "Kevin, look, any way you look at it, it has two lines. It's like, we're pregnant." And it's like right away, her pregnancy cravings kicked in because she wanted to have a burrito right away. My wife's favorite food at the time was burritos, and so that's what her pregnancy cravings. But we were so excited about this, we wanted to break the news to my family, and so we broke the news to my family, and my dad, it was his birthday, and we're kind of like, have him open up this small little box, and he doesn't know what's going on. He opens up the box, and inside the box are these baby binkies. And he's like, "Okay, it's my birthday, is there something you're trying to tell me? I need to put a binky in my mouth." And then my family's like, "Oh my gosh, Kevin and Hannah are pregnant." They make the connection. Everybody's like shouting, and it's just an exciting moment. It's such a special moment. And here, as we look back at the shepherds, we see them getting this revelation of a special moment, this revelation of Christ being born. Now, the question has become, well, why the shepherds? What made the shepherds so special? Aren't they outcasts? Why would the angels come to lowly shepherds? Why wouldn't the angels go to scribes? Why wouldn't the angels go to scholars or maybe a priest? They came to shepherds. And we have to remember Jesus' ministry. Why did Jesus come? He didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for the healthy. He didn't come for the rich. He didn't come for the wealthy. Jesus came literally for those who are not righteous. Is it possible, track with me, is it possible that the announcement came to the shepherds because of their low status? Because they were seen as not righteous? And could it be a really good reminder that The angels came to the shepherds to reveal the grace of God towards all mankind. In Jesus' early ministry, the Pharisees asked him, "Why are you eating with sinners and tax collectors?" And it's interesting because Pharisees, they are always trying to trip Jesus up. If you read through any of the gospel, Pharisees are always coming up to Jesus and trying to say, "Hey, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. You can't be doing this. You can't be doing this." The Pharisees thought that they knew everything about God. They even came up with all of these different commandments that were not from the Word of God. And they tried to add to the Word of God. And so they thought that they're all holier than thou. And these Pharisees come up to Jesus and he's like, "Yo, why are you eating with sinners and tax collectors?" And Jesus responds in Luke 5, chapter 5, 31 and 32. "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I have come to call sinners to repentance." So if you were to ask me why the shepherds, I would tell you I honestly don't think God was concerned with who he shared the announcement with. Why? Because truthfully, all of us need Jesus Christ. No matter who we are, what we've done in our life, how righteous we might think we are, every single person has fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need Jesus. Not one person can save themselves. And another thought as to why the shepherds is, why not the shepherds? I mean, think about it. Why not the shepherds? Of all people, don't you think shepherds might be the only people who would understand the most? Think about it. The Lamb of God was just born. What's a shepherd's job? Take care of sheep. The Lamb of God was just born. So now that the Savior of the world is born in baby form, shepherds would know the importance of this. What did shepherds do at night? They stayed up. They watched their flock. The young lambs that were just born, they were tending them all day, all night. Shepherds had to make sure that these little lambs were protected. And we learn, what is Jesus? The Good Shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd. And we also learn that Jesus is the Lamb of God. So the first role we see in the shepherds is they're the first to hear of this news. And we continue reading in Luke chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And then suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" So here's where we're at. Angels give the baby announcement to the shepherds, and then following that, the angels give the shepherds a sign, and the baby will be wrapped in cloths, lying in the manger. And this is more affirmation that this is from God, because what happens next is an angels crack the sky, and they're basically just praising the Lord and showing everybody, or showing the shepherds what's going on. So here we are, where right when the angels left, the angel or the shepherds are like, "We have to go. We have to go and see this sign for ourselves." And so the second rule I want to highlight from this passage is that the shepherds faithfully and quickly obeyed the angels. The shepherds faithfully and quickly obeyed the angels. Can you imagine just for a moment that you're a lowly shepherd tending your flock, and then an angel cracks the sky, you're in the night, the complete darkness around you, you just have your flock right here, and an angel comes and cracks the sky, and he comes and brings you amazing news that you've been waiting to hear through your ancestors for so long. Like, think about it. They're waiting for decades, centuries, for good news like this to come. And what's so interesting is the shepherds were like, right when the angels left, "We have to go see this for ourselves." And that's exactly what the angels did, or the shepherds did. They left to go see the sign. And the interesting thing to draw out from the shepherds, they took their job seriously. Their priority was to protect their sheep. And they left their flocks behind to go find this newborn Savior. And remember I said they're about 6 miles outside of the town of Bethlehem. They didn't get in some fast car. They didn't drive around the block and be like, "Oh, let me just go see what they're talking about. Let me hop in my car and go." They didn't have cars back then. These shepherds literally walked 5 to 6 miles into the town of Bethlehem. I don't know when the last time you took a 5 to 6 mile walk. It doesn't take 30 minutes. It takes about 2 to 3 hours. 2 to 3 hours. They had to walk back to their sheep. Another 2 to 3 hours. And then we learn what they did in Bethlehem, which we're going to jump into later. It's safe to say that these shepherds were away from their flock for at least 10 to 12 hours. Safe to say. 10 to 12 hours, they're away from their sheep. It's important because the shepherds left behind their sheep. That took a lot of faith. It took a lot of faith to let go of the protection of the sheep to go see the sign. It took a lot of faith to go leave behind the temporary to seek the eternal. The shepherds knew exactly what God was telling them to do, and they obeyed God immediately without delay. You see, God is always wanting our faithfulness to him. He's always wanting our obedience to him. And here, the shepherds are doing exactly that, and it's big considering who the shepherds were. And many times throughout the Word of God, God is providing a sign to his people, providing a sign. What are signs indicating? Signs indicate that this is all verification that is coming from the Lord. It's all proof in the pudding. This is exactly all the evidence you need to know that this is from God. And many times we look for a sign from God. A lot of times, you know, we need direction in our life. I mean, think about it. We're like sheep. We're wandering and we're looking for direction, and we depend on God to give us the direction. But wouldn't it be easy to be faithful and obey God if the angels gave us a sign like they did the shepherds? Like, have you ever found yourself like asking God, like, hey, I know I need to do something, but what is the will of you, God, in my life? What is the will of you, God, in my situations? What is the will of you in my decision making? Father, can you please just form your clouds into words so I can read the clear direction of what you want me to say? I know I've asked that before. Or as you're walking along the beach, that there's something written in the sand from the hand of God, that it's a message clearly to you. You see, signs are a big deal because we need direction in our life. And when God gives a clear sign, like he did for the shepherds, we get clarity on what we need to do. And there's a lot of things that God may be working in your life right now, but what it boils down to is your obedience to him. When he gives you a sign, when he tells you to do something, it boils down to what are you going to do with that? And looking at the shepherds, we see prompt obedience, faithful obedience. And something that we're trying to teach my son, Malachi, is delayed obedience is still disobedience. So if God's saying, like, hey, I need you to go do this now, you don't say, oh, God, give me 5 years. Let me become a better speaker. Let me become a better evangelist. Let me become more gifted in this area, and I'll do it later. No, delayed obedience is still disobedience. So we see two important roles of the shepherds at Christmas. First, they were the first ones to hear the good news, and second, they were faithful and quick to obey. And we continue reading about them in Luke chapter 2, verses 16 to 20. And Luke continues to write, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So here's where we're at. Shepherds left behind their flock, traveled to Bethlehem, searching for the sign. They discover the sign. This is the sign that the angels had told them. The Savior is truly born, lying in the manger. And then they see the sign, and then they began to tell others about what they had just witnessed. The people were amazed. Shepherds were amazed. Mary pondered the things that had happened, and they went back to their sheep, praising God. So the third thing I want to highlight from this passage that we just read is the shepherds were the first to evangelize. The shepherds were the first to evangelize. And the thing what I want to point out in these verses is that we just read in verse 17, when they had seen him, when they had seen the baby, when they had seen the baby lying in the cloth in the manger, they spread the word. And if you look at verse 17, it's a comma. Right then, it's they spread the word. This is what happened. They immediately responded, saw the baby, saw the sign, they spread the word. Shepherds began to testify to others about the good news that they had just saw. And this is big, because now we're seeing that this is amazing, that the news of Jesus Christ is now traveling all around. And when I consider the shepherds and who they were, I think about the low status that they had. Remember, these were not keenly sharp people. These were shepherds who were considered as outcasts. And so these shepherds are dirty, haven't bathed in a while, just took a long walk. I don't know if anybody feels clean after a long walk. And here they are going throughout the town of Bethlehem, telling people about Jesus Christ, the Messiah being born. What this means is the shepherds, they went out of their comfort zone to evangelize. The shepherds went out of their comfort zone to evangelize. A shepherd usually didn't talk and, you know, do business with people who were inside the city. They usually only talked to their sheep. They usually only talked to other shepherds. But now they're talking to people who consider them outcasts. Shepherds were evangelizing outside of their comfort zone. And again, we see them promptly doing something because the truth changed them. They see the sign, and it changed them. They began to spread the word. They knew immediately that hope has entered the world. They didn't need to know the rest of the story of Jesus Christ. He just entered the world. But they knew the rest of the story of Jesus Christ because they know that a Redeemer has just been born. And the sign that they got that this is verification is the sign that the angels had gave them. So the shepherds didn't need to know the rest of the story of Jesus to know that he was the Messiah. And without delay, they proclaimed him as Christ. And Jesus, when he gave his commandment, we coin as the Great Commission, the shepherds didn't know that Jesus was going to give this as a Great Commission, but right before Jesus left his disciples to go back to heaven after he had already been crucified, Jesus tells this to his disciples in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Go and make disciples of all nations. This is huge because this is exactly what the shepherds were doing. They were going, and the way you go and make disciples of all nations is you go and you share the Lord Jesus Christ with others. People who have not heard about the gospel, people who have not heard about Jesus coming. This is us taking this on as our charge, our responsibility to go and evangelize, to go and spread the word. And as we continue reading, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Though we don't know if shepherds were baptizing people, but we do know that they were evangelizing, telling people about what they had just witnessed. Something that is actually a huge responsibility for everybody who believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is on our shoulders to share about the good news of Jesus Christ, whether it be through our words, whether it be through our actions. What we must do as believers is spread the word of Jesus Christ. And this is the testimony of so many believers. You give your life to Christ, you're excited for Christ, you know exactly what Christ has done for you, you know what he saved you from, your soul is no longer going to be burning in hell, but now you are redeemed from hell, and now you have the opportunity to share that good news with someone who needs it. And you passionately share your faith with other people, because this is, you get it. You realize that after this temporary life is over, you're going to be in heaven with God for all of eternity. And your entire life is changed because of the simple fact that you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can't keep quiet about it. The shepherds couldn't keep quiet about it. The shepherds returned to their jobs. Check this out. The shepherds returned to their jobs tending the sheep. And as we read in that last verse in 20, they returned to their sheep as changed people. They returned to their job, their same old job, but they were changed people. Their life had been rocked by the revelation of the Messiah being born. And now what do we do with all this? What do we do with all of this illustration of all these shepherds and their important role at Christmas? How do we bring this all to a close? The story of the shepherds is very, very important. Their role at the Christmas story is very, very significant. And we see this truth about them being the first to learn about the birth, seeing their quick and faithful obedience, and we see them quickly sharing and spreading the word about Christ. And it leaves us with a few application points and one challenge that I want to give you before we wrap up. Actually, we are wrapping up. First application point is this. Because the shepherds were the first to hear, we can be sure that the gospel can reach anyone. We can be sure that the gospel can reach anyone. Remember who the shepherds were. They were outcasts. They were lowly people, lowly shepherds. There's nobody too far gone for the reach of Jesus. No matter how messed up you might think your life is, no matter how messed up you think your family's life messed up is, no matter how much you think your friend's life is messed up, no matter how much of a mess you think other people are, there is no one too far gone for the reach of Jesus Christ. Don't for once think that the gospel can't reach somebody. God showed his grace to all mankind by making the news first available to the lowly shepherds. The lowly shepherds. That's grace. Grace is receiving something that we absolutely do not deserve. One thing that we absolutely do not deserve because of our sin, doesn't matter if you sinned 1,000 times or just one time. What you truly deserve is eternal damnation. But grace, Christ has stepped down from heaven to earth, died on the cross for your sins, so that you don't have to handle that eternal damnation, that you can have eternal paradise with God in heaven. None of us deserve the gift of Jesus. None of us deserve the gift of salvation, and that's grace. The second application point, because the shepherds were faithful and quick to obedient, we should also be faithful and quick to obey. I don't know what God is asking you to be faithful in your life right now in this moment, but I know that we need to be faithful to him. If God is calling us to do something, we have to be sure to go and do it, no matter if it costs us going into or outside of our comfort zones. We have to go see what he has in store for us when he is sending us to go. Be on the lookout for signs from God. He is always trying to get our attention. The third application point is, because the shepherds were spreading the word, we as believers need to follow suit and evangelize too. We need to follow suit and evangelize too. This isn't a suggestion. This is not a recommendation. This is literally a commandment from the mouth of Jesus. As believers, there's this responsibility that rests on our shoulders, and that responsibility is to spread the word of Christ. It's a big responsibility, and if you look at it as a responsibility, like when you're a child and you had chores and those were your responsibility, that's where that rebellion comes in. You're like, I don't want to do it because I'm a rebellious person. When you look at it as a responsibility, likely you're not going to do it. How about you look at it as a privilege? Look at it as a privilege that you have a privilege to share about the good news of Jesus Christ. Which leaves me with one challenge that I want to give to all of you this Christmas season. This Christmas season may involve you being around someone who does not know Christ as their Savior. You may be living next door to somebody who does not know Christ as their Savior. There might be somebody living in your household who does not know Christ as their Savior. You may be working with someone who does not know the truth and needs the truth of Christ. You may have a family member or a real close friend who is in desperate need of the hope of Jesus. My challenge is, what would Christmas look like if you shared the gift of Jesus with just one person? Just one person. There's about 50 of us in here this morning. Think about it. That's 50 gospel conversations going forward. What would Christmas look like if we just shared our faith just one time this Christmas season? What if we upped that and did it two times this Christmas season? It doesn't have to be you knocking on doors trying to get your way into somebody's house. It doesn't have to be that route. Could be that route. Doesn't have to be that route. Could be a nice little write a little card to them or a quick conversation. Remember, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care about them. So my challenge to you is that you would be bold this Christmas and share the good news of Jesus Christ to someone who is dying in the need of hearing about the good news of our Messiah. Jesus has come. Jesus is born. He was born. He laid down his life so that we can live. Let's do our duty and share with somebody this Christmas season about the newborn King. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we get to come to your house, Lord, and learn more about you. Jesus, I pray for our congregation. I pray for our people right before us that as we take on this challenge to proclaim your good news, to share your good news with people. Father, I do pray immediately, Lord, for those opportunities to come up. I do pray, Jesus, that you would open the door for a gospel conversation to take place. And Father, I just pray that you will equip us, give us the words to say. Father, I can't tell you how many times I didn't know what to say, but you provided me with the words. But Father, just help us be bold this Christmas season to be like the shepherds, the lowly shepherds who were so undeserving of your grace, like we all are, but took this grace and spread it with great joy. Father, help us be more like the shepherds this Christmas season. Father, it's a privilege always to share your word. I pray, Lord, that this word will go and challenge us in great ways. Be with us now, Lord, as we sing a song to you, continue to lift you up on high. It is into your name that we pray, Jesus, and we all said, amen.